it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. We have a fantastic episode planned for you today, and some of the subject matter is a little icky, maybe gross, but then educational. Or we shall see about all that. But anyway, I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side is my partner in crime, my good buddy, Nate Gorzinski. Nathan, how you be?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. I'm ready to get real, if you know what I'm saying.
I think
we're all right for the brave listeners today. We got some good subject matter. I'm feeling good, and it's been great.
Life's been great.
It's summer. I'm happy, man.
I can't complain. Until you go into the big box store, and everything now is fall. Right now, it's back to school. And in about 2 weeks, it'll be Halloween, even though it'll be 110 degrees outside, because that's what big box does, baby. Right?
Yeah, man.
Forcing their seasons on you.
We all just buy from Jeff Bezos now so he can go to space anyway. So.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Well, I don't even know if he fully went into space. I think he just went in the atmosphere.
That's true. They didn't give him the title. He wasn't bestowed the title of astronaut though he wanted it. They turned him down, whoever is in charge of that shit.
Yeah, whatever fine organization that was like, you just went really, really high. You didn't even turn or touch a knob. You are a knob.
Wasn't there a guy that like skydove from that height like not long ago?
I think so. Or there was like a extreme sports guy or something that dropped from that height. Yeah, there's something else going on, but it does seem like mega billionaires going to outer space has dominated the news the last, I don't know, forever, it feels like. But that's how news cycles work, right?
Yep.
Distract you from what's really going on.
That's right.
And everybody hops on their socials, their Twitter, their Instagrams, and talk about that incessantly rather than the real issues that we should be dealing with. But hey, that is a great thing for me to segue because we do have social media, and I never do this at the beginning of a show. So follow us on your socials at Selling Out Show or on Facebook at Selling Out Show 1.
That was very expedient of you, Dave.
Thank you. Get that out of the way so quickly.
And now we can just play.
This is our sandbox, baby. We can do whatever we want. And speaking of sandboxes and expediency, I got something terrible to tell you about that happened to me this week.
Oh, boy.
It's horrible. It's tragic, scarring, emotionally, physically. And I wasn't maimed. I wasn't assaulted. Nobody was hurt in the making of this story.
That's
except for, yeah. Well, just wait. Just wait. You see, let me start this whole thing off by letting you fine folks out there know that I am a sucker for those big-ass bags of popcorn. You know what I'm talking about, Nate?
I do, and I also am aware that you like them because I remember. I've known you for a long time.
All my life. If I see a big bag of popcorn somewhere, I'm like, ooh, I got to buy that. Like, it used to be at the gas station. You'd see the yardstick full of popcorn, the long, narrow bag. I forget exactly what size it was, but that's where it all began for me, my addiction to the popping corns. And now if you go to a Walmart or another grocery store, you see these big freaking, you know, it's not good for you. You know it isn't, but you just can't help yourself, man.
Quickly, I know that you're into popcorn of all stripes. You like, you had a popcorn maker for a while, if I remember correctly.
And I still do.
You're just a popcorn dude.
I am. I just can't escape it my whole life. So now that we've established that, I bought one of those big suckers. I brought it home, was watching a little Magnum PI, and I just realized I'm shoveling this stuff into my mouth. There's no stopping
Steak, butter, everything.
Yeah, whatever the hell's on it. Whatever it is. It could have been Olean. It probably was the way this story is going to go. Trust me. And for those who don't know what Olean is, feel free to Google it. Or know that it was a chemical or an additive that was added to Pringles chips in the 90s that made everybody violently ill to the point where the Pringles company got sued.
It was called anal leakage, they said. That was,
yeah, in the most violent manner.
Yes.
It was terrible. It was like, you know, it wasn't as big, for example, as the coronavirus pandemic.
For sure.
But for those who lived it and survived it, they might kind of like think about it in the same light as far as how jarring it was. Right. You know what I mean?
Been the same, yeah.
Exactly. Like when you say Olean to someone, they cringe.
Olean? Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yes. It was nasty stuff. So anyway, something was in this popcorn, and I was feeling some serious discomfort for many days afterwards, and which was okay because I wasn't working at the time. I was home, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do? I'm suffering from my love of the popcorn. I deserve this. This is what I get.
Yeah.
But then one day I got to go back to work. And I work with the public. I'm not going to say what I do because I like to keep people guessing.
Sure.
Just hear my voice and imagine what I do when I'm out in the wild with the rest of you folks out there. And anyway, long story short, or long story long, whichever way this turns out, my stomach starts boiling over. I feel bubbling, some gurgling, something ain't right. To the point where my butthole was angry with me. So here I am doing my job, and my asshole basically just starts fluttering. You ever have like one of those uncomfortable twitches in your eyeball? And you're like, oh my God, people are going to see my eyeball freaking out. Well, that was my bunghole.
It's like convulsing.
Yeah, exactly. It was really just like convulsing. And here I am. My shift is almost over. So I'm thinking, just keep your asshole shut. One more hour to go. You can do it, baby. You can do it. Keep your asshole shut.
Watch that palpitating anus.
Yes. But this is my mantra, right? This is going through my head, but it's not working. Something's cooking and it's coming out. Exactly. So at this point, I'm like, this is crisis mode. Something's going down. And it's a matter of pride for me.
Yeah.
That I haven't used a public restroom to do a number two in at least 20 years. At least.
Ever since you saw Trainspotting in that horrible scene.
it's almost like the old Seinfeld episode where he talks about he hadn't vomited since 1980.
Right, right.
That was thinking, me. Yep. What's that? Keep
I'm
going.
Thinking
tell
of Shitbreak, the character from American Pie who would not use a public toilet.
Okay.
And would leave school to go home every time he had to go and whatnot,
great.
You know.
I'm glad you just added that to the conversation because that's basically how I live.
Okay.
And I'm happy about this. I'm like, I do not ever have to sit on a public toilet, which is fantastic. It's disgusting. It's gross.
Yes.
You know, and I was always trained like, you sit on the toilet, you're going to get herpes. And then when you put the Johnny down or the paper, toilet paper down, you're afraid like, you know, your wiener is going to hit the side of the bowl. And the next thing you know, you're going to get like a massive growth or something and you have to go to the doctor and explain it to your family and friends. It's a nightmare for me, a nightmare. Yeah. Yeah. So back to my current predicament, I make a beeline for the private employee bathroom. Once I arrive there, I see that it's locked because it's already in use. Oh, no, this isn't good. So then I got to walk halfway across my place of employment to reach the public restrooms.
But clenched the whole
walk. Like anybody seeing me must have thought I was like the you ever see the movie Men in Black?
Yeah.
When the bug guy is like wearing the human suit and he's like walking around with his limbs
kind of sticking.
Oh man. Oh my God. It was something else. And you want to act normal. Yeah. It's like you just like stole something. You don't want to get caught. Like you don't want anybody saying, oh, that guy's got a shit. Sweating, look at that guy. Oh.
Beating up on your forehead.
Guy. Yeah. Oh my God. So there I am. I make it to the entrance. And right then I got a decision to make because keep your asshole shut is not even, I can't even think that anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
You just got to get there.
I just got to get there and do what I got to do. This is it. This is my streak is over. Yeah. It's done with. Nothing I can do about it. I have no control.
Take the L.
Take the L, the big fat L on that one. So my mental decision at that time was head straight to the handicapped toilet because more space in there for some reason. And I thought it'd be cleaner maybe because now look, I know that I've seen all types of characters on all walks of life go into the restroom and I know they're up to no good.
Sure.
I know there's people in there, you know, probably doing drugs and, you know, homeless people come in there and probably use the facilities because they get no other place to go.
Yeah, man.
So I already know it's going to be a situation, but I'm thinking, you know, just trying to rationalize everything. Handicapped stall is going to be the best stall out of the options that I have.
That's a logical assumption.
You would think, right? Yeah. Maybe. Or so I thought, because I slammed the door shut. I'm yanking down my pants as fast as I can. I look at the toilet seat covered in piss.
Yeah.
Covered in it. Like some guy. And there's like unidentifiable chunks and different things. And it's dude, put this, anybody out there, put it in your mind's eye, the most disgusting looking toilet you could ever see. But luckily.
Sitting on a petri dish.
Basically, yes. Luckily, the water didn't have anything in it. So I'm like, all right, I don't even have time to, yeah, prep the seat, clean the seat, nothing.
Oh, no.
But I'm not going to sit on it. Uh-uh. No way. I'm going to do something I've never done in my entire existence. I'm just going to hover.
Right.
I've heard of women doing
levitate
this.
Like fucking David Blaine or
Doctor Strange. Yeah, exactly. There I am. Yeah. So, man, I got to do what I got to do. So I just drop trowel. I let loose, hovering probably a good 6 to 8 inches above the toilet.
All right.
And my eyes are just closed in frustration. I mean, the crow's feet. Just imagine my face.
You look, like, you know how to paint a picture, Dave.
Man, well, it's going to get even better because now that you've thought of my face in this disgruntled, horribly, you know, horrified manner.
Yeah.
My eyes open wide when I hear the sound of bloop. There you go. Because it wasn't what was dropping in, but what was coming back. And right then, that little splash of water hit me dead center, smack dab in the center of my butthole.
Oh,
right,
my goodness.
Right. And I'm like, no, please, ooh, God, no. As if I couldn't say no enough.
That was like a hepatitis bullseye.
Oh, dude. That's exactly what was going through my mind. I'm like, I thought I just like totally escaped the beast. I had made it. Things were happening.
Yeah, man.
Understandably, not exactly the way I wanted them to, but still, I was avoiding the pitfalls of having to use this public toilet.
Yeah.
No. Splashback.
Oh, man.
And it got me, like, it wasn't even like my cheeks. It was just boom.
Boom, right in the Achilles heel.
Dude, dead center. Dead center shot. So,
oh, my God.
There I am. I mean, I'm literally at that moment ready to, like, call a therapist or, I don't even know, just set fire to my yeah, own rectum.
Just end it all right now.
Yeah, it's over. It's done. I mean, I can't. How can I even look my wife in the face after this? What has happened to me? I mean, I couldn't even look in the mirror at myself.
Been violated by a public toilet.
Yeah, basically. And it was one of the worst, if not the worst, experience of my entire life. I mean,
wow.
And when I got home, cleaning.
Wow.
Cleansing involved.
PTSD, post-toilet stress disorder.
Dude. That's what it was. I mean.
Did you take a shower a sexual assault victim in an old movie? Like, I know that sounds pretty awful nowadays.
That's pretty severe, yeah. But is there a test kit involved? No, but I mean, I was scrubbing, scrub-a-dub-dubbing the old brown balloon knot. Like, there was no tomorrow. Oh, my God. And then, like, even when I was in there, I knew I couldn't, like, clean myself properly. But I still went to the sink and I grabbed some soap and water and then went back into the bathroom stall and kind of cleaned my backside a little bit. Just like, I don't know.
Very intimate, dude.
But, dude, at this point, there's no going back, right? There's nothing else you can do. It's happened. It's there. It's like, you know, even a little soap and water is not going to take away the bloop.
Sure. Oh, no, man. You've been scarred for life at this point, you know.
My streak is over. I got to start a new one now. I mean.
It's been this many days since Dave used the toilet.
Exactly.
You can have it at work.
DEFCON 4, there was like, yeah, people hitting buttons in my mind like, no, no, don't do this, Dave. Please don't do this.
What are you going to do, though, Dave? You know, listen, I will say this. I think everyone can relate to that story, at least the fear involved. But I'll say, like, with my checkered past, shall we say, of addiction and all these things. Like, I spent a lot of time, like, I'll just say I can relate to that panic, really, really easily. It's really easy for me to go back just because, like I said, I was a street junkie, like, got homeless. I didn't have a home toilet to go back to for a long time. So I definitely, especially as an addict, where when you're craving the drug or you need the drug, your stomach is a mess and you got to shit every, you know, whatever, 10 minutes, whatever it is. And then when you get the drugs in your hand, that often initiates a response of like, oh my God, I got to take a shit. You know, that's, it's a thing.
Yeah, so, right.
So I know that panic well. And I will say this, I remember that it would be like a sense of peace when you finally got to a toilet. And obviously if you're an addict, especially with the drugs in hand, but the feeling wasn't complete of like relief until I looked at the toilet paper roll dispenser, because there have been times where it's like, oh, thank God I'm in the toilet, sit down. And then I look and there's no toilet paper anywhere. And then you're just like, this is not relief. Like I still am fucked, you know? So anyway, I've had that happen before. The whole, brown eye target, shot. Yeah. I don't know if I've been there, but I mean, maybe, I'm sure. I know people that have shot up with toilet water. I guess that's similar, but,
that's terrible. Oh, the thing of nightmares. Oh my God.
Listen.
Hey, Nate, real quick though, let me tell you, and I'm sure you've heard this story before. When I was a kid, I had a buddy of mine who had to go so bad. He stopped at a gas station and he went in, did his bit, and there's no toilet paper.
Yeah.
And he ended up looking around in panic, like, what am I going to do? I got to clean myself here. And he just looks up randomly and the ceiling isn't done. And he sees there's some of that Pink Panther insulation there.
No.
Yes. Yeah. I never told you this before.
If you did, it's, you know, somehow my mind has
forgot
erased it.
Yeah. Probably because how terrible it is. And he reached up, he grabbed a swatch of the insulation and use that, and then we're walking home and he was like, I am so itchy. I need to get home right now. He's like, I need to do something right now. And I was like, that's like the worst thing.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was just but it happened to someone I know.
Wow, man.
And I was there. And I
Holy
mean
smokes.
As a kid, I was also diagnosed with something called Crohn's disease.
Uh-huh.
Which was weird because when that happened, my mom had to talk to the school and they basically said he can go to the bathroom whenever he wants because it's like an irritable bowel thing.
Sure.
So
you can smoke whenever you want.
Well, later on, sure. But when you're younger, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to like be that kid who's, he can't, control himself. He's going to crap his pants. But I was very good at doing that. Even if I had the urge, I still was like, I'm going to wait till I get home.
Yeah, man.
Well, where it's comfortable and clean in my own environs. But
I'll tell you, all that training as a child of holding it didn't seem to work at work the other day.
Hey, man, it's worked for me for a long time. That's why I said it's been at least 20 years that I can recall having to, utilize one of these public restrooms in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the most extreme of extremes. This was literally as bad as it could possibly. I mean, I was make a mess if I did not do what I did, in fact, did. So,
yeah. Wow.
There you have it.
I'll tell you, I would not have told you when I got up this morning that I would have discussed a single fecal experience for almost 20 minutes.
But, yep. That's the way the world works, baby. It's wonderful.
Life is weird.
It's weird and just fucking great.
So Dave, I know you're somewhat of a fan of these, but I've been watching a lot of documentaries and documentary series lately.
Love them.
Yeah, man. It's entertaining, but at the same time, it's nice to just learn some things that are real. And like Joey, my stepson, my boy, has, he's voiced several times, like he's still at that age where it's boring to watch the news he's when we're going to watch something, even if it's a cool documentary that I'm like, you'd probably like this. He's like, I'm not watching a fucking documentary. You know, he's
history.
Like,
fuck history. Yeah.
You it's mean I got to learn something?
Right.
Yeah. No, I listen and I relate. And that's the point of what I kind of wanted to talk about is that, I'm in my early 40s and recently, or the last so many years, a lot of my adult years were kind of wasted just doing stupid things, as I mentioned in the last segment. But now I'm like, you know what? I like learning these things. Like, I'm interested in them. And I started thinking about how our education system and just the way we work as humans biologically is kind of messed up, because when you're a kid, they send you to school and you've got to learn all these things and you get tested. And it's like this bombardment of information for the first, you know, 18 or more years if you go to college of your life. But the reason is because when you're that age, A, you're getting ready for the world, and B, biologically, you just work better that way. Like, your mind is designed to absorb all this information when you're young. Like, they say that the, you know, a human child learns more in their first, whatever it is, 3 years than they do in any, you know, the rest of their life, whatever it
is. Yeah, sure. I know what you mean.
Statistic. I wish I had looked that up. But anyway, my point is, at that age, the problem is most of us aren't interested in any of this shit. So and this is the ironic part, is that when I was a kid, I always was in, or for a while, I was in all the advanced classes. When I was about 9 years old, for the next few years, I was in this thing called Project Expand in my school, where they would take, like, there were like eight of us, I think, that would all get taken out of our classes. We'd go to this room. We'd learn some other things, but mostly we'd just kind of like discuss things and learn to use reasoning like differently. We were young. We were like 9 years old at first, but we would all, it was a different kind of learning, and it was for kids that were testing higher than others. So I had this potential. And even when I was taking my PSATs and SATs, like, my scores got me a national merit scholarship nominee, like, out of people all over the country, you know, like my scores got me to that, you know.
Right, yeah, which, sure.
Yeah, and I did. I tested really well on a lot of things. I retained a lot of things, but I never did homework. I couldn't have been bothered. Like, I would take acid in school, walk around, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I remember. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, but my point is, I had no interest in any of that shit. And if I did the work, it was because, you know, oh, I remember it, so I can answer the questions on the test. And also, I don't know. It was often just to get it done because I had to. But the homework, I mean, the point is, I had all those accolades, but I barely graduated high school because I was so behind with homework or projects or whatever it was, that I was so irresponsible that I barely graduated despite being a National Merit Scholarship nominee. And now, you know, 20 years later, 25 years later, whatever it is, I'm so interested in all that shit. And now it's, if I want to take classes, it costs a ton of money. It's like going back to college or something. And, like, you know, I feel like the whole system's messed up. And I don't know if you can relate at all. I know you said you're into the documentaries and stuff, but, you know, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. It's like, it's just weird how your tastes and your interests and things like that mature and change. And so maybe now you might be interested in a topic that you would not even think about being bothered with at the age of 16 through 18, that you're like, man, I would love to be able to sit in a class and totally get into the nitty gritty on this stuff now. But if to do so, I'm going to have to pay a fucking bucket load of money. I'm going to be an old motherfucker going back to school.
Right.
You know? It's like, and you're right. It's like, you know, the public education system's fantastic for these kids. So why can't I just decide I want to go back to ninth grade? Why not? I know I graduated it already, but I didn't really get the full experience. I didn't get all the information that was offered to me. So can I just go back to that grade, take the philosophy class, and enjoy all of that?
Exactly, man. I don't know. This stuff interests me now. It's, I guess if I really want it, I'd be willing to pay for it. But it's just, you know how it is. Life is, you know, it's hard to find the money to do all these things. Like, how is that going to benefit me nowadays? It's one thing if I wanted to become some kind of, I guess, you know, what do you even use? Yeah. Do you even use a philosophy degree for, you know, unless you're going to be a teacher? But it's interesting stuff. And to me, it's things that I ponder anyway, like the way people think and the way people respond to life. We've mentioned before that show, The Leftovers, and how I found it was so fascinating because it's about how people grapple with, you know, unknown things that happen. And that stuff fascinates me. And as a kid, I couldn't have given a shit or I didn't know that that's what I was learning. You know, I didn't realize it at the time. I was just like, oh, it's boring shit. And I might have been interested in it if I gave it a shot, but I don't know. I guess my point is like, if any people are young, it's like, I don't even know. Cause like I said, maybe you're obviously probably not even interested at the time, but I was going to say, take advantage while it's there.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to learn some things while you can. And I don't know, but it's like I was interested in getting fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
No, me too. Absolutely. Yeah. I was more interested in getting the babes and the brews and, you know, learning my A's and C's. But that's the thing I was going to say. It's like a womb, the public school or school when you're young. Cause you know, you're in this bubble or you're protected. You're in these classrooms. You get these, lessons taught to you by hopefully someone who's semi-professional. But then when you're done, you're spit out in the world. You want any more of that info? You got to figure out how to get it on your own.
Right.
You know, you can go watch those documentaries. You can read some goddamn books, but we're not paying for it. You know, taxpayer dollars are not handling any of that. You hear me?
Yeah.
But, I guess it's what you do now, right? And I mean, that's the same thing with a hobby or something that you might be interested in. You just, you go online, you go on Reddit, you go wherever, and you start just kind of like inundating yourself with as much of that information as humanly possible. But yes, how nice would it be if you could just stroll up to a brick and mortar building and say, look, I don't want to pay shit, but I want to learn something. Can you let me in and let me do that? And they say, yes. Of course, because knowledge is power, my young friend or old friend, as the case may be now.
Right.
You know, come on in and that'd be wonderful. It's like the, didn't like Ozzy Osbourne famously say like we're born in the wrong, order, like we should be born old, Benjamin Button style, basically.
Exactly.
Because you're so young and dumb when you're a kid, like, you know, and all these opportunities come your way and you don't really take full advantage of them or appreciate them when they happen. But when you're old, you're like, fuck, crap. Yeah. Why didn't I do this or whatever? But then you're old and you're feeble and you're, you know, you're crapping yourself at work, you know,
and you know it.
Yeah.
Before you're getting shot in the asshole with toilet water.
Exactly. That's your life now. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, youth is wasted on the young, basically.
Listen, that's exactly what I was just going to say. It's so true. It's like, you don't realize what you have. When an opportunity comes by, you don't realize that there aren't going to be a lot of those. So you just, you know, take it for granted a lot of the times. And it's so weird because here we are reciting the same things we probably heard from older people when we were young. And it's so true, man. I don't know. It's just the whole facepalm thing where it's just like, damn, man.
Well, here's the kicker, Nate. Yeah. Here is the big kicker. Like, I would like to think or believe that there are many people out there who decided, you know what? I am going to learn this stuff. I am taking this class because it's an opportunity while I am young to learn and, you know, do something. It broaden my horizons, if you will.
Sure.
But then I look at society at large of our country, of the US of A, and I realize there are so many dumb, close-minded, ruthlessly idiotic motherfuckers out there. I mean, and I'm just talking about our country, not even the rest of the world,
right?
Who had different setups and different ways that their, you know, education systems are organized and everything else. That, you know, it's not out of the norm that people just get this opportunity and just don't give a fucking shit. They don't care, like, you know. And it may have been drugs and partying or whatever, you went and wanted to do like a different career when you were young. So why learn that? If I want to be a carpenter, why do I give a fuck about, we keep using philosophy as an example here, but it makes sense. Why do I care about that? Why do I need that? I don't need that. I don't need to learn Spanish. I'm going to be a plumber in Oshkosh, Wisconsin or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the way of the world.
Sure. But the thing is, now some of us at least can appreciate that just knowing that stuff, knowing about the world in general is a positive thing. And like, eventually you might deal with other cultures that you can learn about, and languages are important to learn, but there's so many of us that aren't educated or took, you know, had a shitty education system where they are. Mm. And now that they're older, they just think, well, that's, you know, that other stuff isn't for me. Like that attitude of, why am I going to need to learn that? It's like, they don't realize the value of it because they live in this insular world. And then you get the whole fear of the outside, fear of the other, the things that you don't know. Cause when things are unknown, there's fear.
Right.
And then fear turns into bigotry and, you know, discrimination and all these things and hating immigrants and hating yes. gay people.
That's a fantastic point. That's the willingness to be force-fed a narrative.
Sure.
Right?
And yes.
The reason why I say this is such a fantastic point you just made is because there is a time in everybody's life, whether they realize it or not, where they have the ability to understand that, okay, I fucked this up. Let me change it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Let me pivot. I can do sure. something different. I can believe something different. I can be someone different.
A crossroads.
Yes. Yes. Will. Thank you. Exactly. And I guess it's another big challenge of being a human being, of being a person, a soul, anybody, wherein you can go, okay, this was wrong. I've been doing something wrong. Let me fucking like do something about it.
Yeah.
Or yeah. yet again, sit behind a computer screen, clickety clackety click, and I just like being a moron and a dingus, and that's the way I can only agree with other dinguses because my worldview and everything else. I got the fucking blinders on, and I'm happy as a pig and shit.
La-di-da-da. And the algorithm is sending me the same yes. shit over and over yes. again.
And how you the know. Fuck could you name the Indians the Guardians? Come oh, on man. Now,
exactly, dude. That's the new thing.
Motherfuckers.
All right. So I know we tend to get political all the time. And the funny thing is I always put this little caveat where I'm like, oh, I don't like to get political. But yet I always find myself talking about this shit. So whatever. Let's give into it. So
let's do it. It's education, baby.
So did you notice if you are the type that just watches like the Fox News and all that, it seems like it's always something they're fighting some battle. The only way they're able to keep their support is, we need to fight against this. And it's always some bullshit. It's always, they're coming to take your guns or your Bibles. I've heard that one now. They can come door to door to take your Bibles. That was the argument with, you know, them coming door to door to ask if you want a vaccine. That's all they were talking about recently. They were saying, maybe we should start offering door to door so people don't have to go, these unvaccinated people that are in danger. And Fox News or the right-wing media starts saying, they're going to start a government project that goes door to door. You know, they don't mention like the mail, you know, they already come door to door basically like,
yeah.
for things, but they're acting like it's some sinister thing where they're going to come door to door and force you to take a vaccine. It's like, no, that's not the point, but it gets them angry and it gets them worried. And they actually said, what's next? Coming to take your guns door to door, coming to take your Bibles door to door. Like, who's talking about that shit? Which again is like the war on Christmas a few years ago, which was some bullshit because people wanted to say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas and that, you know, but it got people angry. Like, my culture is under attack. And the only way, that's all they have at this point. It seems like the right wing, all they have is tax breaks for people, you know, the wealthy specifically. And, you know, we got to stop all these things the liberals are doing and you need to be afraid of what they're doing. And that seems to be all they really have. They don't have much for, oh, and voter suppression. So we can, because the less people vote, the better chance the Republicans have. Because obviously, you know, it's like more people, if the more people vote, the more likely it is that a liberal is going to be elected or a Democrat. What does that mean? It means your ideas are less popular. You can never win the popular vote. And rather than try to win the war of ideas, which, you know, it should be what it's about, they just try to make it harder to vote. And you know what I mean? And
yeah,
and
I know, keep I know.
And keep their own base angry enough to make sure that all of them go vote. You know, like, that's the point. Like, be scared. You gotta go vote because the gays are trying to, like, teach your kids to be gay, or they're teaching critical race theory, or they're taking Dr. Seuss books out of the, whatever the fuck they're worried about.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know.
I'm sorry.
It's always gonna be some again. Crisis, some terrible thing that's going to happen to you. It's funny when you say like door to door, like they're going to storm the Citadel and be like, yeah, now you're going to understand fucking this and that because we're going to make you, we're going to force you. And I remember, I brought this up on the show before because I live in Texas and one of my least favorite human beings of all time is Senator Ted Cruz. I think is a gutless, spineless, useless, worthless...
blobfish.
Thank you. Anything you want. But if you remember when he was, we're going to boycott Nike.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do because Colin Kaepernick kneels during the national anthem. So join me, my followers, in boycotting Nike. And then just a couple days ago, he shows up late for a vote. He's coming from his pickup game, and what has he got on? Fucking Nike socks.
Get out.
And I'm like, hey there, guy. What happened to that fucking boy? And I brought that up so many times because I'm always like, I think even last episode, for Christ's sakes, because I'm like, what happened to the news? What happened to this? What happened to, you know, all this stuff that caused outrage and this people going fucking bonkers on social media? You know, it's over now. The news cycle just washed it away.
Yeah,
but
about real things you're talking about.
But like, we're not educated. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. We are not smart enough as a whole, as a unit, to understand that we're just being completely fucking... I'm going to throw up. I'm about to vomit all over my freaking computer screen because we are just herded together like a gaggle of morons.
Sure.
Dude, willing swallow all this fucking false crap.
The way propaganda works is you convince... the public that yours is the only voice to be trusted and all the rest needs to be, you know, you need to be skeptical of. And that's what they've done. They're like, only watch Fox News. Like, you know, even my father, he'll be like, Fox News is the only one that tells the truth, tells it like it is. But you watch it and they're telling people that they're trying to cancel Dr. Seuss or Mr. Potato Head and all this, when that's not even the case. Like, Dr. Seuss wasn't pulled because they got told by the liberals to take these two books or whatever it was off the shelves. It was the Dr. Seuss estate saying, ew, these old books have some like racist looking pictures and shit. Maybe we shouldn't sell them anymore and we can just, you know, they made the decision themselves. Nobody forced them. It's not a war. It's not cancel culture. It's learning, you know, that maybe this shit's not cool. And hence you have the Cleveland Indians changing to the Guardians, as you mentioned, like,
yeah,
whatever.
That was a big thing. And that'll be over in a week. Yep. It was just like Captain America. Marvel Comics is woke. Oh my God, is Captain America gay? Is he gay? Oh, the children. The kids aren't even fucking reading comics now. Come on, you fucking moron. But that's, you know, this is all back to your original point, even though I've completely. The thing is, I get so angry about it, I stutter and I make noises and everything else because it's just utter disbelief that this is what happens. And, you know, you bring up Fox News and just news in general. I don't watch news really because I like to formulate my own fucking opinion because I'm not even saying MSNBC is telling you the truth half the time. I don't fucking know. Everybody's trying to sell you something.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
But you have to know what's going on at the same point. You have to know, like, you, but the key is, don't just believe one. Like, watch them all.
Exactly.
You don't have to watch none. Like, but don't just watch one. And especially one that tells you not to watch any of the others. Like,
you gotta make up your own mind. You can't just take one source as being the gospel and going gaga over it like nobody's business. It's just ridiculous. So let's send all of our asses back to school. We need it. Paddle us, headmistress. Do it. We deserve to be punished.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Exactly. This is the point of the program where I like to thank our partners. Yes, indeedy, Lemon Squeezy. These are great products and companies, and you should be checking them out. Now, we make it even easier because we got some coupon codes. That's right. Hashtag deals. Deals. It's like stealing, Nate. It really is. It's like running out of the store with free shit.
Wow. Call the cops.
Call the popo. First up, we have alpinehemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. Now, you could be suffering from a wide range of ailments or maybe need some better sleep or just some better techniques to relax. Well, guess what? CBD is there to help. And Alpine Hemp has great prices on these products. So don't wait. Visit alpinehemp.com. We also have northlandvapor.com. Vape juice, baby. I love to vape. I am a former smoker, and I say former because vaping changed my life. It made me feel better, healthier, and Northland Vapor helped me get there. All of their e-liquids are diketone and artificial sweetener free. You may be asking yourself, Dave, why the hell is that important? Because guess what? Big Tobacco ain't telling you what's in their products, but Northland, they care. Now, both of these sites, you can visit them and use coupon code SELLINGOUT19 to save 19% off your entire order. Hence what I was saying earlier about running out of the store with that big old discount. Now, last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. Oh, Nate, the Spunk Lube. Mm. We talk about it every episode, but what else is there to say?
Really? You can't go for the ride if you can't get inside.
Yes.
I think we came up with a new catchphrase for
that,
man.
There you go. Put that on a t-shirt, baby.
All right.
Put that on a shirt. They should do that immediately and send you a royalty check. But yeah, Spunk Lube, it's used by professionals in the adult film industry, and now you can have it delivered discreetly to your home. Check them out at spunklube.com today, and you can thank me later. Now, what do you say we hop into some Nate's Notes?
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
As old as I'm getting, I still like to keep my finger on the pulse of what's being released music-wise. I have friends who complain that there's no good music anymore, that everything new is garbage. And I always tell them they're just not looking. We're living in a golden age for true music lovers. Not only is it easier for any artist to put their music out there, but it's so much easier for a listener to find new artists. Gone are the old days of rifling through record store shelves or tape trading with friends. Everything is literally at your fingertips. Of course, with it being so easy to upload tunes, one does come across a lot of shitty music too, but that's nothing new. We've always had to find diamonds in the rough, so sometimes I watch certain music review channels on YouTube or whatever for recommendations. I find reviewers whose tastes I identify with, or at least respect. Anyway, in my online searches, I've recently come across multiple discussions regarding this band called Tramp Stamps. They're an all-girl pop-punk band who all have pink or blue hair. They started on TikTok and sing songs that sound really edgy, specifically stuff like, "I'd rather die than hook up with another straight white guy." They're in their mid to late 20s. And they write songs that sound like a teenager trying to shock their parents, really thumbing their nose to the patriarchy. They're punks, get it? Feminists against white cisgender chads, really geared towards a certain crowd. But a funny thing happened with Tramp Stamps. Instead of their songs becoming the anthems of rebellion they hoped for, there was a tremendous backlash in which virtually every online reviewer, and most people commenting on their videos, called them out for how blatantly manufactured and fake the Tramp Stamps are. Apparently, they were industry plants that were already working for publishing companies, some of them even playing more mainstream pop music before they decided to dye their hair, change their vocal style, and quote, go punk. In short, the band has been largely mocked for their inauthenticity. One of those scapegoats like Creed or Nickelback, who formed a band just to become a punchline. And I'm not saying it's undeserved. All those bands are pretty awful. But it brought up a concept I hadn't really thought of since I was a teenage music snob. The concept of posers. I remember that term being thrown around at both bands and fans. "Man, you're a poser. Going to a hardcore show but wearing a Blink-182 shirt?" Or, "You've only been into this band since they had a hit on MTV. Or, "That band is a bunch of posers. They write industrial music, but they shop at the Gap." Or whatever. That stuff seemed really important to those of us who had found a subculture and wanted it to remain as pure as possible, whatever that means. I didn't want to see a jock at a goth show. When Nine Inch Nails got huge and played Woodstock 94, I was almost bummed out. Never mind that that concert is legendary and still one of the best performances they've probably ever done. All I could see were the hundreds of backwards baseball caps in the crowd. Of course, most of us grow up and see things differently. Nowadays, I just like to listen to the music. I'm old. I'm not moshing at a show. I want to actually watch the band members perform. I could care less where the band or the crowd shop for clothes or what other bands they're into. It's all about the music. The whole concept of authenticity or being true, as the black metalers call it, is bizarre. Think about it. I understand the insular nature of music scenes, not wanting your special thing to lose its luster. But I mentioned black metal just now for a reason. Along with punk, black metal is probably the genre with the most catty fans, ready to call anyone a poser who doesn't meet these sort of gatekeepers' standards. It sounds weird to an outsider, but many black metal fans denounce bands just for producing clear, professional-sounding records. The original black metal bands like Mayhem, Burzum, and Darkthrone recorded on the shittiest equipment possible, and the lo-fi sound became more of a feature than a bug. But bands like Dimmu Borgir and Cradle of Filth, for example, took that style and ramped it up, adding symphonic elements and much crisper sounding production, which really opened the genre up to lots of experimentation, which is a good thing. But if you ask a Mayhem fan, Cradle of Filth and Dimmu Borgir are huge posers. They not only messed with the unique sound and visuals, but they never lived the lifestyle. They're not true black metal. The thing is, that lifestyle is not something really healthy to aspire to. Members of Mayhem and Emperor burned down a lot of historic churches in Norway. Varg from Burzum killed a guy. So did some members of other bands. And I don't mean they shot somebody. These dudes carried knives and axes and shit. So yeah, what's wrong with not being a true black metaler? If you go backwards in basically anyone's life, they were just normal people. There was always a point where a person found their chosen style. It's not like we come out of the womb wearing spiked bracelets or a Joy Division shirt. To some extent, we all present an image of the person we want others to see in us. There's often some inauthenticity in all of us, especially when we're young and unsure of ourselves. Finding a clique is often really important, but that gatekeeper mentality can be really toxic. Ideally, it may be there to hold on to some specialness, to preserve a scene that longtime fans hold so dear, but it usually just ends up being really fucking douchey. Inclusivity is not a bad thing. And yeah, there are definitely bands that just try to cash in on a certain style that they may not really understand. Tramp stamps are unquestionably cringe-inducing. It's okay to call out inauthenticity when it's manufactured by a boardroom to sell products and nothing more. But sometimes a poser is just a newcomer, or someone who's open-minded enough to listen to Steely Dan as well as Black Flag. Fuck all the haters. Listen to what you want. Just don't get sucked in and start chopping people up for Satan or something. That kind of authenticity is okay to avoid.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being called a poser at age 15, and I thought that was the worst thing anybody could ever say to me.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like, the dude who yelled at me was like the dorkiest fucking nerdy Anthrax fan.
Yeah.
And when I say Jean this, jacket. imagine the jean jacket and the scrawny frame and the hair and the Coke bottle glasses pointing his bony ass finger at me saying, "You are a poser." Wow. And now, in retrospect, it's funny because people who call you posers were probably only into the band for like a year themselves.
Yeah.
But you just totally immersed yourself in it. So anybody on the outside who may have a casual liking of something is a fraud.
I agree, man. I mean, I just think at this point, it's not even, I don't know. It's, as I said, some of these subcultures, being true isn't a good thing. Like, there are people that criticized this rapper, Tekashi69, who he was all in the news, you know, a year or two ago, because the point is he started out, he wasn't in a gang. He like hung out with gang members, but wanted to present this gang image. People all called him Poser because he would hang out with all these gang members. And he started wearing a lot of red and hanging with the Bloods and doing all this shit and rapping about all this gang activity he was doing. And a lot of people started calling him out, like, dude, you're not even part of this lifestyle. Like, don't fuck around. And he just took it as a challenge, got more loud, started getting involved in some crazy shit. And next thing you know, the FBI and like law enforcement came and got him because he was doing all this shady shit. And you know what he did? He became this famous snitch. And now his name is laughed at because he's this informant. And like, I mean, I'm sure he's glad he, you know, lived the lifestyle after that.
It's just weird, though. When you say something like that, like, how old is this guy?
Late teens, early 20s.
All right. Well, that makes sense then, because, you know, back then you don't know what you are. Identity is so important, right? Trying to establish that when you're young.
Yeah, man.
You just don't know what you really want to be. You're influenced by so many outside sources that, okay, you know, it'd be different if he was 45 years old.
Right.
You know, and one day he's like, well, I just want to become a fucking Blood. You know, when you're 12, you might be into Britney Spears, and I'm dating myself here. And then next thing you know, you're wearing all black.
Yeah.
And you're into death metal or whatever. And okay, I get it. That makes sense. So, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're loud, you're boisterous too when you're that age. So he's just a moron due to youth.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. You know, our show in large part is about getting older and realizing how life is, and like, as opposed to when you're young, and how your perspectives change. And this is a big part of it. It's finding identity. You don't know who you are at that age. You don't, there's a lot of insecurity and uncertainty. And that shit is why we make so many bad choices when we're young.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really interesting, you know, and these are things that I would be interested in taking a class on that sort of thing.
There you go. Yes, indeed. It's actually kind of funny because when we talk about music and you had brought up Steely Dan, like, yeah, sure. Welcome to the bandwagon.
Yeah.
It's like, I love David Bowie. When I find out someone likes David Bowie, I don't care if they liked him for a week or 15 years or whatever, you know,
right.
It's no big deal. But then when it comes to my fandom of comic books, I'm not like angry at people, but I always find it weird when someone's like out of nowhere, they will claim that they are an expert or they know a lot about a character or the history, the run of a particular, let's say, book. And you go, dude, you've only been into it for like 2 weeks. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I think it's one of those things with the bravado involved as well. Right. If you pretend like you're a know-it-all or something, or you're like all of a sudden you're the biggest fan of something.
Right.
I've seen people in comics Twitter where they kind of change identities and change. For 1 week, they are really into this one character. And then 2 weeks later, they change the name of their account. And all of a sudden, they're posting nothing but this one character until they decide again on their whimsy to change again. And that irritates me.
Sure.
You know, I find
that. Fairweather fans.
Yes, thank you. Fairweather fans. That's irritating. So, I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, definitely when you're still trying to get the feelers out on who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one. I couldn't call someone a poser anymore. And it's not important anymore, like you said. I just mentioned that kid doing that to me when I was like 15 was like, ow, take the dagger out, man. Like, I am bleeding all over the floor. Yeah, I'm a stuck pig. And now if someone yelled, you poser, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I got to pay my bills.
Exactly.
I got things to do in my real life. Like, you know, I mean.
You know who is not a poser?
Who?
GG fucking Allen.
Oh, gross. Oh,
if you
disgusting.
Want to aspire to that?
yeah, exactly. And that's another one. I don't know. It's like for the uninitiated, if you don't know who GG Allen is, don't look it up at work. Do not look up that man in any place where your internet history is something that you could be possibly ashamed of.
NSFW.
Exactly. But definitely if you're interested in some really fucked up human beings who walk this earth, he's one of them that you can look into and be completely repulsed and disgusted by. And, sure. You know, interestingly enough, you bringing him up, I knew a guy in high school who was a big fan of his because of that. This guy was like one of the scummiest fucking human beings, but it's so anti-establishment, right? It's so anti-everything that it's just fuck the system. So bad, nihilistic that you can understand why someone who is 16 years old could say, hey, this is something I'm going to look up to. This is something I aspire to.
That's punk rock.
And that's scary. Punk
fucking rock, yeah.
That's dangerous.
Yep.
It really is, you know?
Of course.
It's not Charles Barkley saying he's no idol, some sports star or something. This is,
sure.
If you wanted to emulate these death metal guys or a G.G. Allin or something, and or even to... For example, I was a big Bukowski fan.
Right. Oh, man.
And this is when I was like completely sunk in my alcoholic nature, where I was romanticizing the idea that this is the way to live. This is the way to do it. Now, years separated from that, I can look back with clear eyes and go, no, I mean, you can still appreciate the man's work, but the lifestyle was not something to emulate or aspire to at all. Right. No. But yet again, being at such a young age and easily absorbing those outside influences and aspiring to these kind of things is dangerous. It's risky. Mm. Risky business, my friend.
For sure, man.
Not healthy.
But, yeah, man. I mean, hopefully a lot of us get these concepts as we get older, but... You know, role models are important. It's really easy to get sucked into the wrong ones. And it's also really easy to get angry at things enough where you do look up to someone who wants to smash the system or just bucks at every system, you know. And, and then you get people like, not to bring in politics again, but like Donald Trump, who that was why everyone wanted to vote for him, was because... He's somebody that wants to destroy the system. He wants to take it apart. And they sent him in like a grenade. And then, but they didn't think what was going to happen, you know? And anyway, again,
There you go. Look at you. Yeah, this is something we could rant and rave about incessantly, I'm pretty sure. Because I mentioned before, I get so angry about it.
Mm.
But I mean,
but yeah,
role models in general.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where when you are our age, when you're in your 40s, does anybody ever ask like who your role models are?
No.
Like you're not supposed to have one anymore. You were supposed to be one, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you could, couldn't you technically still have, I mean, like.
Sure.
Gandhi.
Yeah. I think by now our role models are to use a word that you mentioned last time, an amalgam. Of role models, you know, like by now you should have a bunch of them and take bits of each, hopefully, and, you know, and maybe have some wisdom to figure out which are the parts that are best to be left alone and which ones are best to be emulated.
You know, maybe you are a role model to your young stepson, maybe our show to anybody out there listening. We might be role models to them.
Maybe. God help them.
God, yeah, I was going to say, in which case, be careful. Good luck. Godspeed. But no, I mean, I don't know. I have a son. Hopefully he looks up to me and I'm teaching him the right stuff and I'm putting him on the right path. And I know because he's so he's eight. So when he's a teenager, oh boy, here we go. And I know he's going to be like, fuck you, Dad. Your information is futile. It's useless, man. You know?
Some of us have to learn the hard way, and that's the thing. We also have to learn to... Sometimes people have learned the hard lessons for us, but sometimes... And we should just listen. But sometimes we have to learn those lessons ourselves. And, you know, maybe the reason we went through such garbage and hard times is because then we can come out the other end able to help somebody else through something. That's the only thing that gets me through sometimes, Dave, is hoping things like that.
You know? Yep. I agree. We are posers. We are sellouts, hence the name of our show.
Amen.
And it's good. It's a good thing.
It's fine. Join us. The water's warm.
Well, we won't tell you why it's warm, but it is, in fact, warm. I mean, to make it this far, for somebody out there who'd be like, dude, you're only in your 40s. Like, what's the big deal? You're not old. No, we're not old. But, you know, the lives that we've lived, it's an accomplishment, man. You know, it's a big fucking deal.
For sure.
So to enjoy the finer things in life is definitely the payoff, the yep. pinnacle.
Yeah.
All that good fucking shit. Well, Nate, as always, interesting piece. And you interjected some death metal into it because right. you are a death metal fanatic.
Technically black metal, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Black. See, I'm a poser. See? I'm yeah, a fraud.
Poser. You don't know the difference.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Just a bunch of dudes playing guitars, drinking beers. Ooh,
just a little aside there. Mm. I did post something on our Facebook page, the Selling Out Facebook page, which is Selling Out Show 1
mm-hmm.
on Facebook, where there's a comparison between what I'm talking about when I say technical death metal, because I talked about subgenres last episode. And I, for contrast, I put what a black metal band, a typical black metal band sounds like and looks like, there's a video, versus a technical death metal band. So if you're interested, it is kind of neat to see the differences and you learn there's a reason for these subgenres. And you can be a poser and check out a band that you're not part of the scene.
Yeah. So you mentioned that to me. I've yet to check it out because going on Facebook for me is like...
pulling teeth.
Oh, I'm kicking and screaming and you can... see the fingernail claw marks in the floor. I'm like, oh, yeah. Facebook. Oh, no. I fucking hate that's you. Right.
Has hey, a, listen, educate what? Yourself. Educate yeah, yourself.
As well. Educate yourself. Keep your asshole shut. What have we learned this episode, right?
Beware the palpitating anus.
Absolutely. Nate, do you have anything else you would like to add before let these fine furry folks go on their merry way?
I could talk for hours, but no, I'll let you guys go.
Yeah. We have a show. We'll be back. So you can bring up whatever you want to say this time, next time.
There you go.
That's how it works. It's a wonderful thing.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, I do want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to our humble little program. Virtual hugs for all of you. Hopefully you got something good out of it. And enjoyed yourselves. So with that being said, I am Dave, that is Nate, and this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up to the devil.